Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You mentioned David Pastrnak, and he increased his goal total on the year to 35. Still two back of McDavid for the league lead in goals. What's crazy is that as good of a season as Pastrnak has, he has 62 points in 43 games, I think, or something like that. And he's tied with Kucherov. I think he's one or two back from Draisaitl. But McDavid has like 20 more points than all of them, or 25 more points than all of them. And it's just absolutely insane.
It's crazy. He was on historic pace the 56-game COVID season. Like, I think his pace for that year would have put him over 150 points had it been a full 82-game season. And now he is on pace to do it for a full 82-game season. Like, he's on pace for over 150. He's, I think, flirting with, like, 160 pace. It's insane. And like, no one's done that in almost 30 years. Like, I think it's Lemieux's 95-96 season was the last time anyone topped 150 points. Like, it's absurd.
I mean, he's got 83 points in 45 games. I mean, but anyway, so I wanted to bring up this player and throw it to Bridget because Pavel Zacha signed a four-year extension, 4.75. Scott had talked about how he was a little bit snake-bitten despite being a very, very key contributor to the Bruins. He currently is eighth in the team in points, which is, you know, obviously good. But for reference, he has 28 points in 43 games. Charlie Coyle, for reference, has 23 points in 43 games. So, and when you think of Charlie Coyle, you think of somebody who's a great contributor and plays well in all three zones. And Zacha has, you know, eclipsed him in points. And so today was a great game for him. So I want to get Bridget's thoughts on the extension because she didn't get a chance to discuss this last episode.
Yeah, and I listened to you guys last episode, and I think there's a few things that are even more relevant after the Flyers game than when the news came out, in my opinion, because of the way that he played against the Flyers and his goals that he had. First of all, that one goal was an app. Like, I want to call it a snipe, but at the same time, it was like just a rocket. Like, I was shocked. Like, not many times am I sitting up on the ninth floor and I'm just like, oh fuck, what just happened? Like, it was just so fast that I was just like, good thing I wasn't broadcasting this game, cause I probably would have dropped like an F bomb in there. That's just how the goal was. Like, he's falling and shooting. And the only reason he fell is cause he put so much behind it. So it was an insane shot, really good shot. And something that coach said after the game was, that's what we want him to do. Like, we're going to tell him again, the same way we always tell him, he's got a great shot. He needs to shoot more. You see the plus side. The contract is, you know, the extension needed to be done because it shores up a guy that can be a center for you. He doesn't have to be a center right now, but it's kind of like that long-term plan you see coming together more. And then you go, okay, well, you got this guy for 4 years. He can play center. He can be a second line center. He can play wing. He's very versatile. So whether or not Bergeron and Krejci or one or the other decide to hang it up after this season, you have at least one stand-in. Like, you have one solution to a center problem. You're still probably looking for that second guy, but that's a lot less daunting than trying to find two, like in the off season. And I feel like this has been the plan all along with Zacha. It was like a prove yourself season for him, but at the same time, it was always with the intention that he wanted to stay and they wanted him to stay. So the extension isn't surprising at all. It seemed like they from the beginning knew that this is what they wanted to do. And it was, this is one of Sweeney's smart moves, right? It actually makes him look pretty smart because he goes out, he trades Eric Halla, who didn't have as much upside as Zaka, not as versatile as Zaka, and gets a guy back that is interested in staying long-term. And that's what kind of deals you have to do right now, especially for centers. You need to find centers that want to stick around. And so that's the answer to one of the questions. And then you guys touched on it very briefly, but like finding that other center, can you find it at the trade deadline? If you can, like a legitimate top two center, like one or two center, then you almost answer the question for Pastrnak, if this is really what's keeping him from signing, like, okay, here's our two centers, like in the future. So you don't have, you can't lean back on that and say, you don't see a rebuild, right? Like if you can find a center at the trade deadline, we're not talking about a team that's going to hit a rebuild when Bergeron and Krejci retire. We're talking about a team that's still going to be a bubble team, a play, like a team that's going to make the playoffs. It's not going to be like a long-term rebuild situation. Like we were questioning, was it this offseason? I think we had like talked about what kind of a rebuild they might need, but you almost see that not that that doesn't seem like the trajectory anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously like a dream scenario to get, okay, like if Zaka is the number two center longer term, you know, to like, obviously the big name like everyone knows is Bo Horvat, and it, because he is probably going to be on the market. There was another report today that Jim Rutherford, Canucks GM, feels like they've made their best offer to Horvat, and not, obviously it hasn't been enough or he would have already been signed. So it seems increasingly clear that Bo Horvat is going to be traded. And the question is whether that's as a rental or to a team that immediately signs him to an extension. And that's where, you know, the dream would be if you're the Bruins, is if you could acquire someone like Bo Horvat and immediately sign him to an extension, like you did, you know, whether that's literally immediately like with Hampus Lindholm last year or at the end of the season, like with Taylor Hall a couple years ago after you traded for him. But basically know that like there's an extension that's going to be coming down the pipe as well. You know, the biggest question obviously is, or two biggest questions is, what does it take to get him, including who are you moving off the current roster to free up salary? And how are you going about that? And then how are you piecing it together for the future? Because you don't, you're not going to have a ton of cap space next year. You still have to sign like six forwards. You know, can you really say it's going to cost $9 to $10 million to sign Horvat? Can you fit that? Like, where is the money coming from? It's absolutely a legitimate question, but you know, to your point about like setting yourself up for the future, someone like Horvat, if there is a way to like find the way to make the money work, it's worth it because those opportunities come along so infrequently and they're so tough to get those centers, and you don't have any in your system that look like they're going to be number one centers anytime soon. So you try to find a way if at all possible, but as it relates to the Bruins right now, the question would be like, because obviously, you know, I don't think they need a Bo Horvat to win it all this year. Like barring, you know, injury to one of their top forwards in the playoffs, like you have a team that can win the Stanley Cup. I think, you know, you just add depth to help kind of cover yourself and you're in really good shape. If you're adding Horvat, like I said, you're moving salary out somewhere. That means someone's coming off the current roster, and it's easy to say like, oh, well, that can be Craig Smith. And it's like, okay, well, now you're giving up extra assets to move him, because unless he gets hot, he doesn't have any value, any standalone value, really. So you're
not for a rebuilding team, not like,
no, not for them. Maybe there's some other contender that might have interest in him for depth, but all those other contenders have cap issues too. So They're not going to want to take on his cap hit. So it's very challenging. And, you know, if I were sitting here right now having to bet money on it, I would bet that they're not going to acquire Bo Horvat. But it is absolutely the type of move that they should be exploring, because it's going to help you now. Bo Horvat's a really good player who, you know, makes an already great team even better. And if you lock him up, he can be a number one. Like, he's a number one center right now. And, you know, while I think it's fair to be like a little wary of the guy who's having a career year in, you know, potentially his trade season or free agent season, even if this ends up being like the best season of his career, his other seasons have still been good. And if you surround him with really talented wingers, I think he can still be a number one center.
Sorry, guys. I'm just looking at the Bruins' cap situation right now. And to Scott's point, just like, so next year, after this season, you'll have $2,750,000 coming off the books if they don't find a way to re-sign Nosek and Krejci. And then Craig Smith is another 3-1, and Nick Foligno is another 3-8. So I think they're going to have to decide to cut ties on, obviously, you know, three of those guys. And I think I said Clifton. Did I say Clifton too? Clifton's $1,000,000 too. So like, he'll probably get paid somewhere else. I don't really know, but it's really tough to predict the future with Bo Horvat. I just know that, you know, if you were to wait another year and hope Bergeron comes back next year, let's say Krejci left after this year, and you have Bergeron and Zaka as you wanted to next year. Well, now you're kind of like, now you're playing the odds of what center could be out there a year from now to potentially replace Bergeron. And I think that right now they know that guy is out there, and that's going to be Bo Horvat. Now, based off of Don Sweeney's comments in the Zaka extension press conference, I get the sense that like no prospect for them is safe, because he made a comment about, it's my job to put the best team on the ice this year. He knows that they have to go all in. How they would acquire somebody like Horvat, you know, I think everybody knows the answer. There's a couple of key pieces that would be going the other way in the means of a future draft pick, first round pick, probably in, you know, Lysel or Lori, one or the other. And then you have to get some roster guys going the other way too for the cap flexibility. But I guess we'll see what happens. Scott, you said the Bruins don't need him to win a cup this year. You're right. But I think the Bruins definitely want to add a significant piece. How they're going to do that, I don't know. I just think that I don't feel like the Bruins management want to leave anything to chance. They want to look at this Bruins roster going into the playoffs, and they want to be like, you'd have to pull off a 1980 miracle against the Soviets to beat this Bruins team. That's how dominant of a roster they want to have, is if they can do it. And obviously it's pretty damn dominant right now. If you can go out there and add a guy like Horvat, or, you know, there's other guys we can talk about for later podcasts, but, and maybe you guys think they should add on the back end, like a big body in the back end, which is valid too. But
yeah, the other big center name, by the way, would, if he ends up being available, would be Dylan Larkin in Detroit, who also a pending free agent, hasn't yet agreed to an extension with the Red Wings. The Red Wings were hanging around the playoff picture for a while. They've tailed off a little bit recently, so that's a team to kind of keep an eye on if they decide to sell, and if they're still not close to an extension with Larkin. You know, he would be another one who could potentially be on the move. And I think I like Horvat a little bit more, but Dylan Larkin's also a really good player who I do think can be like a number one center as long as he's surrounded by elite wings, which he would be in Boston.
That would surprise me too, because I just feel like, yeah, Steve Yzerman's doing I mean, look, maybe it's not where they want to be at this point, but personnel wise, I feel like he's starting to do in Detroit with what he was doing down in Tampa before. And like, they have some really young names that are very promising in Detroit. It would surprise me if Dylan Larkin, the captain, wasn't a part of that going forward, just because he is, I think he's only 26, right? So, I mean, or maybe 27, but that would surprise me. As far as Bo Horvat goes, like, and I know people, we texted about this. I know people want to hang on to the Bruins' top prospects for dear life because they don't have many in the system. I get that. But like, Pavel Zacha is 25, maybe 26 years old. I think he's 25, though. And you just locked him up for 4 more years. And a guy like Horvat or a guy like Larkin, Horvat's 27 and Larkin, I think, is 26. So, like, if you can get these guys in your system, it's like the Bruins would probably risk losing a wing prospect or a D prospect, despite how promising they are. If it can shore up their center position for the next 5 years, and don't forget the Bruins, like Don Sweeney and Cam Neely, they have bosses to report to, right? Like the Jacobs, their own, the owners, they want the Bruins to stay competitive. And it's almost like they have no choice. And if they aren't competitive, they're going to lose their jobs. So I think, like, as good of a prospect as Fabian Lysell is, I think Don Sweeney is going to be like, well, if I can lock up a 27-year-old center for the next 5 years, like, I'll take my chances that Lysell's not going to end up being an 80-point winger. And even if he is, he's a winger. So there's a lot to dissect for the Bruins going forward at the deadline. But Zacha is a good start, though.
And don't you feel like they have, like, and we would have talked more about the game if there was really much to talk about. But, like, we're at the point in the season where it's like, okay, Bruins are good. So we want to, like, go on about some other, like, topics that interest us. So don't you feel like they almost have the luxury at this deadline to worry about the future rather than, like, worry about, like, okay, we really need to find someone that's going to put us, like, over the edge, because they're already good enough. And, like, you want to add a guy that can help this year. And, but, like, you also have the luxury of being like, we feel comfortable moving these prospects, because we feel like if we add this X person, our roster will be complete next season, the season after that, the season after that. So you almost have the luxury of being able to look into the future a little bit more than if you were, like, a team that was, you know, knew you had a good playoff team but didn't have quite the depth that the Bruins have. So I just feel like this season has given Don Sweeney a little bit more leeway to sign a guy that, obviously, if you get a guy like Bo Horvat or you know, just a center that's, you know, a one or two caliber guy, that's obviously going to help you in the meantime. But it allows you to convince maybe ownership, like, hey, this is a big move. This is a huge splash move, but this is going to be our long-term and our short-term, like, solution to, we're going to win the cup and we're going to be competitive for the next another 5 years or so.
Yeah. And, like, this has clearly been Sweeney's MO recently, is he, as much as possible, has tried to stay away from, you know, the true rentals where you're only getting a guy for half a season. He's traded for guys who were going to be pending UFAs, but then he signs them, you know, Taylor Hall, Hampus Lindholm. Pavel Zacha wasn't just going to be for 1 year, even though that's initially what they agreed to, was a 1 year deal. Like, the intention clearly was always to sign him for longer. You know, even, like, it didn't work out, but Nick Ritchie and Andre Kasha were guys who had another year on their deals when the Bruins traded for him. So he has, you know, now if the best move to help them win a cup this year ends up being a rental, whether it's because, you know, a Horvat or a Larkin is either unavailable or the cost is just way too high or whatever, like, yeah, I think he would be open to a rental, but maybe not for, like, paying a premium price. So we know that he's going to be targeting, first and foremost, guys who can help this year and also potentially be around longer, whether that's someone with term on his contract already or someone that they already know or at least have a good idea that they want to re-sign. So, yeah, we know those are the kind of deals that Sweeney's going to be looking for.
And it's almost it when you brought up Dylan Larkin too, like, it's weird for me to imagine him on this team. Like, in a month ago or however many weeks ago it was that we were talking about Jonathan Toews being available and, like, trying to, like, figure out, like, where the fit would be and, like, what it would be like to have that person on the Bruins, because we're so used to seeing some of these guys with their teams for so long, and, like, being the captain of a different team and being the face of another team. So when you said the Dylan Larkin thing, I'm sitting here like, that's kind of weird for me to think about, but I'll have to, like, mull it over a little bit.
That's another thing. With both Larkin and Horvat, is they're the captains of their current team. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not saying they're going to come here and, like, be future Bruins captains, but they can be part of your next leadership core, you know, when eventually Bergeron and Krejci have moved on and it's really only Brad Marchand left of that old guard, and you need, you know, that next group of leaders who are kind of in the prime of their careers. Like, both of those guys, obviously on their current teams, have shown some leadership capabilities that their teammates recognize. So that, you know, would be another kind of, you know, another thing in the plus column for them, is that presumably they're obviously pretty good teammates that you think would fit into a culture like this.
Vancouver's in trouble over in British Columbia there. They are in unison in all. It's the players, the coaches, the GM, the owner, they're all on different pages of a failing book, really. You look at Bo Horvat, he has 414 points in 615 regular season NHL games. I think his that's obviously really good. But I think his offensive ceiling would be higher in a well-structured system like Boston, where defense leads to offense. He's also a great character guy. Bruins fans may remember Noel Achari dropped the gloves with Horvat maybe 5-6 years ago at this point, and Achari can handle himself, but Bo Horvat kind of gave it to him in that one. But I just think he's in a toxic situation. I think all those players are.
Think about Taylor Hall before Taylor Hall came over. That's another player I'd never tried to like imagine the Bruins like fitting into their lineup. And then they, because of the no move clause, like they kind of get him for a really good price, and he fits in, and he was not happy. He was in a toxic situation in Buffalo. So we're looking at that kind of that's who you're targeting again. It's like, I tried to search if Horvat has a no move the way that Taylor Hall did, which would give him more of a choice to where he ends up. I could not find the answer. So we will have to research that a little bit more, but obviously that changes what the price is. If someone has a no move or, you know, has a say where they end up, because then they can choose.
Horvat doesn't.
Okay.
Horvat does not. He has no sort of no movement clause at all.
Okay. So then
Dylan Larkin does.
Yeah, so if there's like the list narrows for the players who do have a no move, because they're probably looking for a longer term, so like a team that wants to extend them, rather than the ones who don't really get the choice. So there's going to be probably a higher price for a Bo Horvat because more teams can offer.
You know, it's you bring up a good point too, and I remember last year the three of us were talking going into the trade deadline about, you know, certain guys we hoped the Bruins would target, but we were like, well, that guy's reported saying he only wants to go to Colorado or Florida. I think at the time it was Claude Giroux, right? And that's because those two teams were clearly the regular season favorites, and Colorado ended up winning. But that's one thing, too, the Bruins have going for them, is if you're somebody who you know you're on the trading block at the deadline, you're part of a seller, right? Your team's a seller. This year, everybody's looking at Boston, right? So if somebody wants to leave and go win a cup, the Bruins are that team this year, which even in years they've been really competitive, they've never been that team for the most part where somebody's like, oh yeah, I clearly want to go to the Bruins at the deadline if I have the option, right? So that's something they have going for them as well. And like, you know, Buffalo did have their issues with the toxic environment, but like Vancouver's a different animal. I mean, you have JT Miller, like, you know, slamming his stick every 2 seconds. Who's it? Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes is literally crying.
And JT Miller was a guy we were talking about last trade deadline.
I know. Maybe the Bruins may have.
Why did he sign an extension there? Like, this is baffling.
I don't know.
He was clearly frustrated there before, and then like for some reason agreed to stay.
I don't know if anybody was going to pay him the money that Vancouver gave him. I think he wanted the paycheck. No, right?
Well, I guess money can't buy happiness, because he looks like one very miserable player this year.
Money can't buy happiness. No. So yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Have to buy some new sticks, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that all plays out, and we'll have plenty of time to discuss, you know, the trade deadline and different options for different teams. I know. Up in Toronto, they were already throwing a name around because they were debriefing the loss of the Bruins, and they were pretty much talking about how you know, they don't have anybody to match up against McAvoy and whatnot. And they were throwing around Jacob Chychrun's name. And, you know, team's going to try to get better. So, yes, the Bruins don't have to add because they are really good. But it also depends on what everybody else is doing around you and whatnot. And but, yeah, Bridget, you made a good point, too. It's like, on the one hand, the Bruins don't need to add, right, based off their success so far. So maybe they could be like, well, let's try to – protect some future assets, and let's not give away the first round draft pick, because guess what, we don't need it. People are trying to add the deadline to even come close to us. But I think if they could try to add somebody and then with the intention of signing them long term, especially up the middle, then it's killing two birds with one stone. Obviously it's helping you get deeper this year and for the future, so they have options. We'll see how they end up playing their hand.
And that's not till what, March? What's the deadline?
March 4th.
Yeah, early March.
So we're early on it, but like, this is the time of year where you start hearing rumors. You know, you start hearing who's available, then you start hearing what teams are making offers, and so this is kind of like where teams already know their sellers at this point, right? And teams know their buyers. So that's why you start hearing like the rumors and different things at this point in the season.